Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Life Hacking Podcast. Today is episode number 2. Welcome. I'm so excited that you're here. We're going to talk about something that is just so powerful and so foundational, and it is the one thing that drives all of your behavior. You know, I think about when I was in business 18 years ago when I started my first business. Man, I wish I had the knowledge that I have today about some of the things we're going to be talking about in the Life Hacking Podcast and inside of the Life Hacking community as well. I mean, I would have accelerated my success so much greater. I mean, it took so much longer than it could have taken if I would have just applied a lot of these principles that we're going to be talking about today and in every episode of the Life Hacking Podcast as well. Now, keep in mind, I want you to remind you, because I know we're early on in this podcast, that life hacking is not about a cheat code. It is not about a shortcut. I don't believe in shortcuts. But you know as well as I do, there are people that can accomplish more in a day, in a week, in a month than other people. There are people like Elon Musk, who doesn't own just $1 billion company, but several billion-dollar companies. Like, how in the world does a guy like that do that? You look at the top producers in the world. How does Gary Vee produce so much flipping content? It's unbelievable. I mean, you can just turn on Facebook or Twitter or any platform you want, Discord, and he's everywhere. How in the world does that happen? You see, you can get so much further in life by just having the right strategy, the right tools, the right leverage. Really, it's just it's a straighter line from point A to point B, right? But the problem is most of us don't take that straight line because we don't exactly know how we can do that. Well, I'm excited about today because today we're going to talk about the one thing that drives all of your behavior. It is super crazy, super magical, and when we talk about it, I think your mindset will shift quite a bit from what this principle is, this life hacking principle today. So if you guys are ready, let's jump right in. You know, there is a successful entrepreneur. His name is Peter Sage. You can see him on TED Talks. He's got a lot of content out there as well. Just a brilliant guy, brilliant entrepreneur. Well, a few years ago, he was in a legal battle. And if any of you have ever been in a legal battle, they are not fun, right? You're in a room and attorneys are involved. And in this case, he was actually in court. And things got a little bit heated, and he was actually charged with contempt of court. They sent him to prison, but not just any prison, one of the worst prisons in the country of England. And so he spent a little bit of time there, but he changed his attitude when he went in of like, okay, well, if this is where I'm going, this is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to make the best of it. Well, in the prison system, as you probably know and probably have recognized, there's a lot of programs where they try to rehabilitate prisoners, where they try to have them go in and then leave a much better person. And of course, the goal when they leave is to not have them return to the previous behaviors that got them there in the first place, that destroyed their life potentially and destroyed the lives of who knows how many other people. But as you know, most of the time, just like it was in this prison in England, prisoners would leave, they would go back to the same behaviors, and of course, they would return back to prison once they got caught. And it was just this never-ending cycle. Nothing ever changed. And why? Because they were teaching them the skills. They were giving them the tools to be able to change their behavior, right? But here was the problem. They didn't teach the most critical skill they could have been taught, because all they did was taught them skills. So what did the skills do? The skills actually just made them better criminals when they left. And why is that? Because there was one thing that drives all behavior. And this is something that Peter Sage knew. He knew that the one thing that drives behavior is belief. So until you change somebody's belief, you'll never be able to change their behavior just by providing skill sets, right? You have to also give them mindsets. And so that's exactly what he did. He actually created a book and he gave it out to every one of the prisoners. He would like put little inserts underneath prison doors sort of anonymously. And it was called Welcome to the Prison. And inside of that, he had really worked on their belief set, really worked on things that they could do to improve their outlook by changing some of the way that they see the world, right? And you'll hear me talk about this a lot, because the world is not the way it is. The world is the way that we think that it is, the world that we see that it is. And if you don't believe me that all behavior is belief, let's do a little exercise together, right? This is an exercise that I learned a few years ago. And if you're in your car, please don't do this. But if you're sitting in your desk, in your office, or if you're at home, do something for me. Stand up, shake it out a little bit. Stand up, maybe jump around, get a little energy in you. And then I want you to plant your feet forward, right? About shorter length apart if you want, or even thinner than that. And then I want you to point in a direction. directly in front of your eyes. Just point straight out with arms straight, okay? The next thing I want you to do with your, without your legs or your feet moving, keep them right on the floor, turn as far as you can, okay? Turn around towards your back and turn as far as you can. All right, have you done that? Okay, now before we do this again, I want you to close your eyes for just a second. Again, if you're driving, definitely don't do this, but if you are at a place where you can stand up and do this, this is kind of a really cool exercise to really illustrate this point of the power of belief to affect your behavior. Okay, now close your eyes, put your hands down at your waist, so put your hand down if you haven't done it already, and then I want you to visualize yourself turning 50% further than you did. So visualize yourself pointing, right, and turning around your back and towards the front, basically clockwise, right? See yourself turning a little further than you went before. Now this time, do it again. See yourself turning all the way around 360 degrees, right? Of course, is that physically possible? Well, it doesn't matter. We're just visualizing here. And if you can't visualize this, visualize yourself visualizing this, all right? So do it again. Now this time, I want you to turn around and twist three times around, right? Take your arm out in your mind and turn around three times. And then do it one more time. And I want you to visualize in your mind going even four times around. Now, once you've done that, once you visualize this, then I want you to stop for just a minute, open your eyes again, and take your arm and point straight forward again. Now, I want you to turn as far as you can go. Now, if you did this right, and most people that do this, they'll go 25%, even 50% further than they had gone before. I mean, it's crazy. Why is that? I mean, did anything physically change in your body to allow you to go 25 or 50% further than you went the first time? Well, no. What was the difference? It was simply your belief in how far you could actually go. There's a story of a man named John Landy. Most of you have probably not heard of the man John Landy. It is one of the most powerful stories that I use in a lot of my trainings and my masterminds to illustrate this point. John Landy was a runner in the 1950s. In 1954, he actually broke a pretty significant record, but he wasn't the first to break the significant record. The guy that was is Roger Bannister. Roger Bannister, you probably heard of before, because in 1954, he was the very first person to break the 4-minute mile. Now, I am a runner. I love running. I've never broken the 4-minute mile. I wasn't fast enough in high school. I'm an Ironman competitor as well. And so for me, this is awesome to really meet somebody who's ever broken the 4-minute mile. Well, Roger Bannister, before he broke the 4-minute mile, I mean, from the beginning of time until 1954, not a single person had ever broken the 4-minute mile. And in fact, the belief at that time was that it was impossible. You couldn't actually ever do that. Man could not physically break that barrier. And there were some scientists that it would even say, actually, that your heart would explode if you even attempted it, because your heart rate would be so high by you running so fast for so long that it would not be possible for you to break the 4-minute mile. Here's the crazy thing about this. Roger Bannister, what he did was he trained, right? He learned skills, he learned techniques, but was never able to break the 4-minute mile. And there was a difference, because his belief was that, I mean, would you try to break the 4-minute mile if you believed your heart would burst? I highly doubt it. I certainly wouldn't do it. But what he did is he actually started visualizing him crossing the finish line and looking at the clock saying 3:59, 3 minutes and 59 seconds. And he did this over and over and over again, in addition to the training, because he wanted to change his belief. Because when he couldn't see it, when everyone was telling him it couldn't be done, when everyone was telling him that it was not possible, he believed in himself enough to do it. I mean, everything is impossible until it isn't. So what does he do? One day in 1954, he sets off to break the 4-minute mile, and sure enough, he crosses the finish line. And sure enough, he crosses the finish line in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. He did it. Wow, right? Well, that's an incredible story in and of itself, because all of a sudden, that belief barrier was broken, and man, for the first time, broke the 4-minute mile. And of course, the news spread throughout the country and throughout the world. Well, here's what I love about the story about John Landy. 6 weeks later, John Landy actually broke Roger Bannister's record by just a fraction of a second. And of course, at that time, became the world record title holder of the fastest mile. So he goes off 6 weeks later and breaks the 4 minute mile and breaks his record. Now, of course, you've never heard of him because he was the second person. And, you know, we always remember the first man on the moon. We remember the first person that broke the 4 minute mile. But here's the awesome thing about the power of belief. All it took was for one person to make the impossible happen in their lives. From the beginning of time to 1954, nobody had done it. Then all of a sudden, in 1954, it happened. And 6 weeks later, John Landy gets up and breaks that record, also breaks the 4 minute mile. And since then, thousands of people have broken the 4 minute mile. Now, let me ask you this question. Back in 1954, did they have a new pair of shoes that came out that made this happen? Did they have a new drug that enhanced human performance? Was there some crazy culture or something blowing in the wind? Was the wind at his back? I mean, how in the world did this happen? And it came down to one thing. All behavior is belief driven. All impossible accomplishments are belief driven. So what belief in your marriage or your business is holding you back? Because guess what? You are paid for your mind and what you can accomplish through your mind, not necessarily your body. So here's the mind hack in all of this. Since all behavior is belief driven, the first thing you need to do is change your belief. Then you can start working on your skills and strategy. Because if you're having a struggle of hitting that invisible glass wall above you, and you're not able to improve your income, for example, and you're stagnant in your income, or you're not able to move past a certain point in your life because of your beliefs, first, you need to change your beliefs. And if you think about it, you're at the stage of life that you are right now. You've gotten to where you are today because of your beliefs and because of your skill set. So it takes a change in both of those to break through to something that you want to become. And when you think about setting goals, it's not so much about what you want to accomplish. It is more about who do you need to become to accomplish the thing that you want to accomplish. So the first thing you need to do, and this life hack is awesome, first change your belief, then work on your skills and strategies. And that will change things dramatically for you in your life. It's important to know that really human beings are motivated by two things, essentially. Number one, we are motivated by pain. And number two, we are motivated by pleasure. That's it. Everything. Think about every decision, major and small, you have ever made in your life. It is based upon how much pain will it cause you, or even how much pain will it keep you from, or how much pleasure will it cause you. Pain could be frustration, challenges, etc., right? Pleasure could be happiness, joy, excitement, adventure, positive things. And every decision that you make is based on those things. I mean, have you ever known anybody or even yourself stayed in a relationship way too long? Well, why do we do that? Or in my case, stayed in a business partnership way too long? The reason why I stayed in it way too long was due to the fact that my perceived pain of leaving that partnership was greater than the perceived challenges and pains and frustrations I was experiencing inside of that partnership. It's the same thing with your relationships. If you have had a breakup, why did you finally break up? Why did you finally take the action, even though you might have stayed in it a month too long, a year too long, or even years longer? Because the perceived pain of you staying in the relationship was less than the perceived pain of what you'd have to go through if you broke up. Until what? Until finally the pain got great enough inside of the relationship that you took action. You said, enough, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore, and you left that relationship and went through that painful experience of the breakup, which we've all been through, I'm sure, at one time or another. We are 2 to 9 times more likely statistically to take action off of the pain, in other words, the negative consequences of our situation, rather than the positive equivalent. So if you want something that can give you leverage to drive you to break through to your next level, it is always going to be the pain. We are much more likely to break through because of the frustration of our situation than we are thinking about what life would be like if I had this, or if I broke through, if I achieved this income level. If you wanna make $1 million in a year and you're making $100,000 a year today, first thing, look at your beliefs. Second thing, push yourself by that pain. You're gonna be much more motivated by being stuck where you are, making $100,000, not getting anywhere, not feeling like you're fulfilled, not feeling like you are progressing than you will by thinking about how awesome it will be to make $1 million. When you're visualizing what that will be like, that will help you drive towards that pleasure side of things. But we are so motivated by pain. We break our arm, what happens? We'll do anything to take care of that. I'll never forget my son, I was in a meeting and I own an automation company. And so one of the things we do in our marketing automation company is we plan new automations and new strategies. And we were in one of these strategy meetings. And my wife calls me. And at that time, I think my son was 8 months old. Our 16-year-old had actually left our 8-month-old on the countertop, right? And I think it was about a 3.5 foot or so, almost 4 foot countertop, and he fell off and landed on his head. And my wife calls me, rushing him to the hospital, freaking out. And I start freaking out like, oh my goodness. Now this is our caboose. This is our last son, our last child. And so I immediately ran, left the meeting, drove to the hospital. If any of you have ever been through this, it is a horrible experience because you don't know exactly what's wrong. All you know is your wife is frantic, rushing him to the ER, and now you're running to the ER, and everything that you think could go wrong, all the negatives, all the worries hit you as a father or a mother, right? And it is a very long drive. Even though it was about a 7-minute drive to the hospital, for me, it was a very, very long drive. And I pull up to the hospital. I actually got there about the same time my wife did. And I ran up to the car and I looked at my son and he was a little bit coherent. So that gave me a little bit of peace, right? I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. I grabbed him. We rushed him into the ER. And of course, the doctors took over and they ran some tests and looked at him. And they came back to us and said, okay, well, here's the situation. Miraculously, he looks like he's okay. He hit in an area that generally we see a lot of problems. He says, however, you know, it's a little early and we've had situations like this and kids went home and then they all of a sudden went into a coma and the worst happened because there was swelling in the brain, bleeding in the brain. And we can't know exactly what's happening until we do a CAT scan. And the problem with a CAT scan is it will give him about a year's worth of radiation in one setting. I said, however, we will know if there is a problem and what course of action to take. And they also said, oh, by the way, it's going to cost a significant amount more money to do a CAT scan. And I don't know what your copay is or your insurance deductible is, but it's going to cost quite a bit more money. And my wife and I looked at each other and my thought was, I don't care. If it costs $1 million, I will figure out a way to find the money to make sure that my child is okay. I was motivated by that pain. And in this case, his pain, the possibility of him having brain damage or a concussion or something that could hurt him long term was one of the most painful feelings I could ever have. And so what did I do? I made decisions that I normally wouldn't make because I would have done anything to get rid of that pain, including taking on the pain of trying to figure out how to pay $1 million if it was necessary. I would have figured it out. That is how powerful pain can motivate you. Frustration, the challenge of your situation, right? The whole goal with the life hacking community is to help you go further and faster, accelerate your success, accelerate your achievement. Talk about strategies, techniques, beliefs, behaviors, etc., that will help you get to where you want to go faster, right? This is meant to be uplifting, exciting. This is meant to give you insight and open your eyes to the possibility. Because as I said early, everything in your life is impossible until it's not. Landing on the moon was impossible until it wasn't impossible. Sending a rocket to space and then turning it around and landing it back on the Earth, like SpaceX does, we mentioned Elon Musk earlier, or was impossible. And now it's not impossible. If you look around, a lot of what you see in your office or in your home didn't even exist 100 years ago. Some of it didn't even exist 10 years ago. And it would have been deemed impossible 100 years ago if you went back in time and showed them your laptop. It would have been absolutely impossible for someone to think, hey, you can transmit movies, sounds, etc., over the air, like they did with television, from one point of the country to another, and all of a sudden you can see that movie or that show in a totally different place by it being transmitted through the air. In fact, the guy that invented the television was institutionalized because they thought he was crazy for the idea. But again, he made the impossible possible. You're probably not going to land on the moon. You're probably not going to break the 4-minute mile. But what is the 4-minute mile in your life? What is that impossible target that for you is impossible that you need to break through? And who can you see that has what you want to have, that has accomplished what you want to accomplish? Who's the Roger Bannister that broke the 4-minute mile before you that you can model their behavior? John Landy modeled his behavior. In other words, John Landy could have said, hey, I need to, of course, run and train and do speed work and all of those fun things that we do as runners to try to get faster. But he could have also adapted the mindset of, I believe I can do it. In his case, I don't know if he visualized it or not, if John Landy did. What I do know is that he saw someone else do it, realized that it was possible. All of a sudden, he changed his belief structure and 6 weeks later, broke the 4-minute mile. That is powerful. So whatever that impossible is in your life, find someone that's already done it and modeled their behavior. That is another life hack that I didn't mean to bring up today because we'll talk about modeling later, but that is one of the most powerful ways you can do it because success leaves clues. Success leaves principles and strategies that you can follow that other people do it. If you want to be successful and make that impossible happen, you have to believe because belief creates your ability to accomplish the impossible. All your behaviors are driven by your beliefs. And if you're playing small, it's because you don't believe that you're big. If you're not rising up to who you really are, it's because you don't believe you're that person. Change your belief today. Think about the impossible. Find somebody that's done it that will give you some evidence that it can in fact be done. And there is plenty of it out there no matter what your goal is. If it's just to lose weight or if it's to make $1 million, whatever it might be, find somebody and model their behavior. That is an awesome life hack for you to learn. And it is so powerful. I hope that strategy is helpful. It's something that's blessed me so much in my life in building businesses, working with my teams and my employees, and accomplishing a lot of things that were impossible in my life. And we'll talk about a lot of those in some further episodes. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Of course, we're going to building an awesome life hacking community. We have more information on that. We've got an app that's going to be released here shortly that you can listen to all the podcasts on an app, or you can listen to them on, of course, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, etc. I hope you guys have a great day, and we will see you every Monday and every Friday. Thanks, guys. Inside a prison view, 10 whispers or a shout, gunpowder if it's true.